Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we wrap up this series, What's Next Today, we ask what's possible, and that's where a lot of us get stuck immediately, because we can't see what's possible. We don't think there's any options or any alternatives, and it's probably because we've been so disappointed previously. The wounds are so deep and we're hurt so much that we become sort of cynical and jaded and say, it's useless. Don't get your hopes up. That's impossible. Nothing will ever change. Just deal with it. In our first reading, did you realize that this is one of the greatest racial divisions in all of human history between the Jews and the Gentiles? And granted, it took divine intervention, and both Peter and Cornelius had to have hearts that were open to the Holy Spirit and hearts that were open to each other. But did you see what happened in that reading? That day, those two became brothers. All of a sudden, this is the pivotal point in the book of Acts, by the way, where the God who had come to the Jews, now the Spirit had come to the Jews at Pentecost, now that Spirit was coming on the Gentiles. This means that now the church is open to everyone. It's not going to just be a Jewish church. Now the church is open to all nations and to all peoples. That's what's possible. And so whether it's some big societal issue that we are facing or our own relationship troubles, or maybe it's that struggle for personal change that you're trying to make in your life, when our God is involved and when our hearts are open, what's possible? Anything is possible. And it's our other two readings that give us the key ingredient for this. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Now, that sounds like something we're supposed to say in church, right? Before anybody begins to push back and say, well, that sounds great. That sounds rather naive, actually. Optimistic. Some pious platitude. Oh, let's just love one another and everything's going to be okay. Yeah, right. No. Don't be so cynical. Do you know the love we're talking about here? We're talking about the love that has done the impossible. This is the love that has conquered death. See, we don't know what love is anymore. We define love in our culture as just the strong, intense feeling inside, and yet we're all smart enough to know that our feelings change, and our feelings go up and they go down constantly, and yet we keep on defining love this way. How silly. Jesus gives us today a radical definition of what love is. Greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends, which of course is exactly what he did. What's possible if we love with that kind of love? It doesn't mean we always literally die for someone, but it does always mean we lay down our lives. We lay down our wants, we lay down our desires, our needs for the good of another. Here's the definition of love. Love is the sincere gift of yourself. And by sincere, I mean that there's no ulterior motives. There's no, what's in it for me? There's no, you know, I'll do this for you if you'll do that for me. No. There's none of that. There's no agenda. No. There's no manipulating. There's no using other people. What if instead we purely and completely, for the sake of the other person, even when we don't feel like it, love, become this gift of self? Then what's possible? There's probably, other than Jesus himself, no greater picture of this than mothers. So as we reflect on Mother's Day, we think of the selfless gift that they are to us. Now, I say that with all sensitivity, because I realize not everyone has had a mother like that. But when things are the way that they are supposed to be, think of what our mothers have done for us. I mean, literally, they sacrificed their bodies. For 9 months, they transported us around. And then the time came to deliver, and they went through great travail. Now, this became so poignant to me when my last two children were delivered, because they were delivered by C-section, and if you know how C-section goes, I got to tell you, I was shocked when they bring me into the delivery room, which is a surgery room, and they bring me in there, and my wife, Shelley, is strapped down to a table in the shape of a cross, about to shed her blood so that Andrew and then later Katie could live. And that's the selfless love that just keeps on going. It doesn't stop at the point of delivery. Moms, sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. A mother's great joy is not in her me time or in her own personal accomplishments, but it's in the accomplishments, the great moments of her children and the everyday moments of her children. But I will say, sadly, I've probably seen the depth of a mother's love in tragedy. When she's lost her baby, whether it's in utero or as she's raising him, or even I've known moms who've had to bury their adult children, and almost always they say the exact same thing: oh, I wish I could have taken my child's place. I would have gladly given my life for my baby. Because to a mama, you're always her baby. Now, having said all of that, most moms I know never think they're good enough. They constantly think they fail miserably. They labor under so much mama guilt. So what I want to say to all of the moms here who are actively momming these days, or maybe as grandmothers helping out with that, but not just the moms, to all of us. So whether you're a parent or not, whether you're married or not, whether you're a male or female, or whether you're a kid or an adult, this we all have to focus in on: how do we love? Anything is possible if we would love like Jesus, but can we actually do that? Or is the love that he's talking about just sort of beyond us? Some supreme virtue, some moral standard that is impossible for us? I mean, that sounds great, Jesus. Good for you, Jesus. But is that actually possible for us to love like you love? Yes. But how? Let me offer you three things this morning. Number one, you have to know the source of this love. God always makes the first move. It's why Jesus says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." John reflected this and mirrored it in the epistle reading, the second reading, when he said, "It's not that we love God, it's that he loved us and sent his son as an expiation for our sin." And then John also said that we are begotten of God, or we are born of God. Now think about that for a minute. Not one of us here willed ourselves into existence. Nobody here said, "I think I'll be born today." And so the same is true in our relationship with God. So many people think that, you know, a religious life, a spiritual life is like, I got to make my way to God, and it's the exact opposite. This is the first principle of the Christian life, that God always comes to us. It's not by our will, it's by his. And this is true of love also. It's not that we sort of will ourselves to love. Let's just dig deeper and generate those deeper, more intense feelings. Let's just try harder. No. We got to know the source of this love. We've got to know where it comes from. And so that's why John began that second reading with beloved. Be loved. That's where it starts. Be love. Jesus, let Jesus love, and he loves us so much. Let Jesus love you. And you know what that happens? As you accept and receive that love, it generates the love inside of you that goes out to others. Second of all, you have to remain in that love. This is what Pastor Schellhorn talked with us about last week, and as we heard the reading, Jesus saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now remain in my love. Remain in me. The reading we have today just carries on. It's the second part of what we heard last week. And Jesus gives us this great analogy. You know, if you cut off a branch, it's going to wither and die. And that's why Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Then it is impossible. But if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. I mean, picture in your mind, we've all seen vineyards before. We know how this works. Picture in your mind a vine and branches. Tell me, where does the vine end and the branches begin? You can't really tell, can you? That's how closely connected to Jesus we must be. To the point we can't tell the difference. Not, you know, loosely associated to Jesus. Not, you know, I visit him occasionally. And in our mind, not, you know, he's way up there somewhere or way over there or even that he's here nearby, but that Jesus is actually right here remaining in me and I am remaining in him. And this, my friends, is why the Eucharist is so essential to us. Because we take Jesus into ourselves, our God, so that he remains in me and I remain in him so much so that I can't tell where Jesus ends and Spencer begins. Jesus said in John 13:34, so rewinding a couple chapters, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Now, what do you do about this commandment? I mean, didn't Jesus tell us, or weren't we told by God in the Old Testament we should love one another? I mean, isn't that... Actually, I think most religions will pretty much say that. What's so new about what Jesus is saying? I mean, is this just that greater, higher moral standard? What exactly is new about this? What's new is this. When we remain in his love, and he remains in us, let me just be honest with you. I can't do love the way Jesus does love. Only Jesus can love the way that Jesus loves. But Jesus can love and do love in me and through me. That's the point of remaining in him and him remaining in others. So much so that you can no longer tell what we're talking about. I mean, I look and I say, I don't know, am I looking at Jesus or am I looking at Kathy? That's what's new. That's what's possible in this love of Jesus. Here's the last thing. If we want to love like Jesus, we have to ask. Just simply ask, and that's what he tells us. Ask and the Father will give it to you. You want to love more? Ask. You want to love more like Jesus? Ask. You want more Jesus? Ask. And the Father will give him. We don't always know what's next, but we do know what's always possible. What is possible when we give the sincere gift of ourselves? What is possible when we love with the self-sacrificing love of Jesus? In whatever the situation is, what's possible? So let me give you a moment to ask. Ask for more love. Ask for more Jesus.